Some of you are here for the very first time. Special welcome to you. Thank you for being part of the branch this morning. Again, we're just brand new, 6-7 months old now. Who we are, we're people that want to know Jesus, and we're people that want to make him known. Okay? It's very important to know Jesus. Jesus is our ticket, okay? He's more than the ticket, but he's our ticket to heaven. Without Jesus, you know, there's not that heaven and afterlife. That's what we believe, what we understand from the Bible. And so it's imperative, Jesus said, to go and make disciples and share this good news with everybody that you can across the world, all over the world. And so we're out here to make him known in the East Vancouver, Camas area. And so many of you have come to be part of that mission and to be part of that journey and that special place to reach people that what we say are uninformed, underinformed, or just plain misinformed about who Jesus is. We need to make him known more and more. And so we're just another expression of the Church of Jesus Christ that's trying to take this message of him to as many people as possible. This is part of God's desire and plan for us. So thanks for being part of the branch today. Why go to church anyways? I think that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Why go to church anyways? And it may be that you were in a place not too long ago where you were saying that thing. Why go to church anyways? Or you've talked to a friend or somebody in your life when you maybe invited them to come out to the branch and they go, well, why go to church anyways? Is maybe what, you know, they reflected back to you. Why go to church anyways? I kind of get it because even though I was raised going to church every single Sunday, I had no choice. My parents forced me to go to church all my life, and I thank them dearly for that. Because even though I didn't get it, I felt it was boring lots of the time. There was very little practical application for me at my age growing up when I was in church. They didn't have special programming like we do at the branch where the kids can go and get some extra special things targeted toward them and for their understanding. I was there, though, and I watched my parents worship God. And I'm very thankful for that. I didn't get it very much until after I left home and I was still compelled out of habit to go to church. And that, I think, was good. I came in contact with some people that invited me to their little church. And I found something there, and experienced something there that I hadn't in church for the first 20 years of my life. Okay? There were some people there that took me into their lives. They incorporated me as a friend to them. They gave me a place. There's even one family that gave me refrigerator rights, okay? And I was a bachelor and most of the time pretty hungry, okay? They were not interested in my money because I didn't have any money. I was wondering what they're interested in because in business world, it's kind of like, what can you do for me? How can you help support and how can you deal? In this case, it was just simply a matter of they just, can I say it? Loved me. They just received me. They were interested in my life. They were interested in who I was. They wanted to get to know me. And they kind of, with all of my faults and stuff, they still, you know, received me. And they were interested and they warmly welcomed me and they kept inviting me. And there was this extension of themselves to me, which I want to describe to you today as simply a love for me. The way I was, warts and all, who I was. Interesting. What did that do for me? Well, I kept attending. I kept coming to this little church kind of like this. And you know what I learned about? I learned about the God of the Bible. But I learned more than just the general doctrines of the Christian faith. I learned about the very heart of God for my heart. This was an incredible transformational time for me. I was in my young 20s, and those of you in those ages, man, if you're into this thing about why go to church anyways, you haven't got good reason why it's a value to your life, I just want you to know at that time, I was perked up and listening because of the love of the people of that church to want to be interested in what they were interested in too. And they were interested in this God, but not just this God of some rules. No, this God that cared about their lives, my life. And a whole new approach and understanding to the Christian faith opened up for me. And so we're going to talk this Sunday and the next two Sundays about this idea of why go to church anyway. And I want to encourage you to come and get some reasons why it's of value to you in your life. Why the community of faith is a critical importance to you, so much so that God told you not to forsake coming together and gathering with the community we call the church. Okay? Today I want to tell you, why go to church anyway? Because it's all about love. Now, you know, a number of you maybe say, all right, I got that. Okay, I just want to reemphasize it, remind you that. But maybe you come from similar background of me, or maybe you come from a background of zero church experience, and you're wondering, why go to church anyways? And all of your friends don't go to church, and most of the people in your work environment don't darken the door of a church, and you've heard some terrible things about some churches anyway, you know? I just want you to know, here's a great reason why to go to church. One of the biggest reasons for me. And it's because it's all about loving God and loving people, friends. Church is all about this. And you maybe been in places like me where you've been part of a church environment where it didn't make sense. You didn't get that. It was not very practical to your life, perhaps. And it was maybe just boring, you know. And or you saw that some people acted a certain way in church, but then outside of church, they acted a different way. And that, you know, hypocrisy was there. And there's a number of things you can find in churches. Let me just tell you, the branch is no perfect church. And if you stick around, you'll see us in our warts and some of the struggles and that. But I'll say this. We're going to try to get to know Jesus. We're going to try to make him known. We're going to try to understand the love of God that sent Jesus to die and take the penalty of our own wrongdoing on himself so that we could be released. This is a love of God church, okay? We're going to love on God for what he's done for us. I want us to talk about that. But let's look first at this idea of a love for just a quick moment. Love. It's expressed in the Bible, as you read the Bible, that love is this primary characteristic of Christian fellowship, of Christianity, of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Look what it says. All these things, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. You've heard of those terms. Those are the three big ones, all right? Faith, that's our trust in God, extremely important. We don't see God, but we trust that he exists. Our hope of an eternal life, an inheritance in heaven. There's something beyond this stuff in this earth. Yes, there's a grand heaven. We got that hope. Wow. Faith, hope, and love. But the writer here goes on to say the greatest of those three is love. Greater than all the faith and trust you could have in God that could do whatever in your life you'd want to see done. That faith, which is absolutely vital to your salvation, and the hope that you have because of that faith that there's another day coming, a day beyond this life, a life where all things will be great and good. He says, greater than those is love. Greater than those is love. That goes on to the very next verse, because that ends one chapter and goes on to the next. Okay, and that's the first verse of chapter 14. The way the Message Bible, a paraphrase of the Bible, kind of puts it, I love it. He says, go after a life of love, as if your life depended upon it, because it does. Our lives depend on this pursuit of love. And so we have this understanding that love is this greatest attribute. In fact, if you looked up the definition of the kind of love that the Bible talks about here, the word definition of it, you won't see it's romantic love. You won't see it's even family kind of love. Or friendship love. Friendship love is, I got a good friend, you're not my enemy, therefore I love you. You love me and we like each other and we like to do stuff together. This isn't that kind of love. This is a whole different kind of love. In fact, This is a love that's described this way. It's the characteristic word of Christianity. You could say that, what's Christianity all about? If somebody asked you that question, you could say, well, it's about love. That would be a good definition of Christianity, we might say. It's about this love of another kind, we might have to add, because this kind of love expresses ideas previously unknown up until the time it was expressed in the way God expressed it. Hang in there with me. There's a distinctive meaning that comes out from our Bibles, our New Testament Bibles, about this term love. It's actually best described by what God does. It's best definition is the way it describes the kind of love God has. So we could call it even a divine love. Okay? So, love is the greatest. It's not to be neglected because we want to focus on faith and hope. It's actually something that will outlast faith and hope. If you think about it, when Jesus returns, our faith or trust in the unseen God is fulfilled, and so is our hope. We go to heaven. But love lasts. Love becomes part of an eternal scope of understanding and a reality that we will have, not just here, but in the hereafter. So there's something very special about this idea of love. Then I'd like to propose to you, based on this second verse there, that love would be a goal of our lives, a goal to pursue, to become the best kind of lover according to the Bible's definition that we could be. How you doing with that? Can I ask you that? How are we doing with this idea of pursuing a life of love as if our whole life depended upon it? How are we doing with that? If you want to have the greatest experience of flourishing in life, you want to have the greatest kind of experience of growing your character into its greatest potential, God would tell us, set a goal to love. Set it as a goal of your Christian life to be the greatest kind of lover you can be. Make it the greatest in your life. Pursue it as a great goal in your life. Now, let's just get a setting here, because if we go back 2,000 years, the past 2,000 years, just we've got Christianity expressing itself world over. And I would submit to you that it has been the case that love has defined Christianity over the course of the many centuries of the last two millennia. I just ask you to consider how many good works have been done across the planet in the name of Christianity. Think about it. What about hospitals? Do we even have any local hospitals that are here in the name of the faith of Christianity? It used to be called the Peace Health is a Catholic hospital, is it not? But it used to be called Mother Joseph. And so there's a lot there, right there. What about these works that are done, mission works across the nation? Anybody ever heard of Mother Teresa? Yeah, she's doing works with compassionate love around the world. You go down the list of the missions and the extension of good things, compassion and mercy and relief and help in the name of Jesus Christ around the world over the past two millennia. And there's a great deal that was motivated by this concept of love. Let me submit to you today, though, that I believe love, the divine kind of love, is in trouble today. In part, okay, this is my opinion, so I'm not getting this out of the Bible. This is just what I'm perceiving. In part because there is a movement away in the American church, a movement away from church. And I think that's going to have an effect on on the expression of divine love in our American world. Now, around the world, there's an expression of Christianity and church going that's incredible. There's places in South America and in China, and you were to look into what's going on in following Jesus and making him known. It's incredible. But in America, we got a struggle. The church is actually in America in a kind of decline. People are not going to church as much as they used to. Check it out. Check the numbers. Check the websites. It's just true. I think that's going to have an effect on the expression of a divine love in our world, friends. Now, that's my opinion. You can take it or leave it, but I'm just saying, I think it's pretty important to understand the kind of love that God would teach us. Let's see what Jesus taught us here in this next passage. I think right there. Jesus was asked, Master, teacher, rabbi, what was the greatest commandment in the law? As a kind of a test on him to see whether, what he understood really about the Bible. And he said this, love the Lord your God, and that's my emphasis, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look at verse 40 carefully. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. There were 631, as I understand it, different laws. The code of law of God. The holy, righteous laws of God. They're the big 10, right? The big 10, 10 commandments. And then they had all of these other laws. Jesus is saying, as I understand it, that these two commandments, the first and second greatest commandments, basically sum up all of those other commandments. In other words, if you were to pursue love of God and love of people, that you would be basically obeying all of the right things, the instructions God gives us on how to live. That's what I understand of this. So there's this two commandments that really sum up what God is seeking for in how we would live out our lives to represent him best on the earth, okay? To have the greatest purposes of our lives fulfilled. Get that with me? That's what Jesus is saying. That's what Jesus is teaching. Jesus would say, why go to church? If he would answer, why go to church anyways? Because it's all about love of God and of people. The church is going to be one of the places, one of the very best places. Hopefully the home is a place, but one of the very best places where we're going to get this kind of love. Both from the experience of the body of Christ, similar to what I had, and from the direct teaching and instruction of what God is saying to us. The church. Why go to church anyways? Because it's all about love, my friends. It's about the love of God and the love of people. We're fulfilling the greatest commandments of God for anybody he's ever, he's all the people he's created. It's a good thing to listen to, isn't it? God's purpose for us is to live in this relationship. And so many people have talked about this idea of Christianity being more about relationship than ritual. Well, I can understand both now, because I had ritual, but I also, on top of that, got relationship. I think there's some value to ritual. I think there's some value to tradition. I think there was a great value in my parents, having me go to church all those days that they raised me. It laid a foundation for me. I understood the duty and the value, the importance it was for my parents' faith. That stuck to me. I'm so glad I ended up in that little church where love was expressed to me and drove me to want to understand the God that would have people love like that, somebody like me. So I was a pretty selfish-oriented guy, prideful and arrogant. And God took me in through his love through those people and helped me along when I needed it so badly. And so I want us to dig in a little bit to these two commands today, okay? It's all about this love And let's dig into that. Let's look at the first one. It's all about loving God. That's why you should go to church. Look at the next verse here. This is how God showed love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion together. And we're to remember God's love when we take communion, which expresses this idea that Jesus died for us and an atonement to bring us back, to reconcile us to God, to make us one again with God. He did that for us. The penalty of our sin, our offense before God, our unrighteous deeds, and the things that we've done that are wrong was taken care of by Jesus. But look at what's behind that act of God. When he sent Jesus, when he died on the cross and all that, what's behind all of that? What motivated all of that? And what we find out is it's this idea of love. God showed his love. This wasn't a love that he just spoke. This was a love that he went all the way to give up his only Son and go through all of what he had to go through to gain us back. God did that. That's this love that we're talking about. It's that kind of love we can have in our hearts too. And so the Bible says that God, one of the ways God is described is God is love. It's his character. He also has a holy character. Okay? But he's got a loving character, which motivates him to do these things, to extend mercy, to extend compassion to those who have actually, you know, been his enemy. He reaches out to us with what we call grace. And it's just motivation of love. It's an amazing thing. And so when we receive that, a gift from God that saves us, that gives us this hope of eternity, what do we do with that? Well, one of the things we do is we respond with love. We love, the Bible says, because he first loved us. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. And we then have this relationship begin to develop. This is some of what I learned that I didn't get. Some of my under-informed idea of who Jesus was. I didn't know some of the deeper aspects of what was behind God doing this. And it was this incredible love he has for my soul. He has it for you too. He loves you, and sometimes we don't can't understand how deeply he cares. And we have to keep reminding ourselves. So we take communion every week. We kind of continue to try to understand this incredible relationship that God has given back to us because of what he did toward us, because of that love. And so we're saved because of love. Let me put it that way. The church here exists as it has over the past 2,000 years because of God's love. And so again, we're going after this and saying, well, we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what Jesus had told us to do. That's what God, who Jesus had, you know, he was sharing the words from Old Testament scripture. That's what we're to do back. How do you do that? How do you love God? Ask that question to myself. How am I loving God? Am I loving God? God, are you receiving my love? What's that? Define that. Let me get practical, right? How do you love God? I'll suggest you're expressing a little bit of it by being in the chairs this morning. You're seeking God, and that warms the Lord's heart, and he's feeling loved by you because you're seeking God. You're listening to God's word. You're listening to You expressed through your voices some worship in song, expressing great things about who God is and sharing that with the rest of us. You did that today. That's part of your love for God. As well as maybe when you got up this morning, you opened up the Bible and read a little passage of scripture and you prayed. Or you did it late at night. I do it in the morning. My wife does it late at night. Anybody else got that kind of thing going on? It's just, but what is your, you have some personal worship. You're scribing with that the value of God. You've put him first. You've arranged your schedule. And you're saying, God, you are an important relationship. In fact, you're the most important relationship to me. And I'm placing you there. I love you. We're saying that. I love you, God. Isn't that cool? When it comes time to make a decision, a choice between, if I do that, that's going to have some bad consequences. That's probably not what God would really want me to do. It won't give him the greatest pleasure if I do this. Or if I don't, you know, if I just don't, then I'm not going to have some fun right now. And it's like, and you process, what would please God? When we make good decisions for our well-being, as well as for the well-being of others, guess what? We're saying, God, I love you. I love your instruction. I love your precepts. I love your principles for my life, for what you have designed to be good for me. I love you. Obedience translates, friends, into love in our lives. That's how we love God, among other things. But we express that love. We try to make him known in our world. It's saying, God, I love you. I love what you've given to me, and I want to give it away to as many as I can. We're saying, God, I love you. And we're showing our love by our actions, by our deeds, by what we're doing. That's how we love God. And you're going to get that in church. Why go to church anyways? Because it's all about love, loving God. It's also about loving people, loving people. Look what it says here in this passage. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is Jesus speaking in another place. And he's telling people to do to others. We understand that as what? It's a rule, right? It's one of the rules of thumb. What is it? We call it the golden rule. Do unto others what you have them do unto you. Came from Jesus. And really it describes love your neighbor as yourself. When we love God, he's our object of love. God is our object of love, and it informs everything we're trying to do. When we love people, what's our object that we're thinking about? Love your neighbor. Neighbor is, but how do we do it? As ourselves, or the way that said, whoops, went on to the next one. Forgive me. Did it jump on me? Let me go back. Or it says, in everything, do unto others what you would have them do to you. So we love our neighbor as ourselves. So if I'm going to love my neighbor, and I'm, you know, we have a neighbor that we struggle with in our household, and I'm going to love that neighbor, how would I want to be treated? I'm going to say, how do I want to be treated? If I was in that person's place, how would I want to be treated? Then I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Maybe you have work around somebody that's hard to work around. How do you do that? How would you like to be treated? And you try to figure out how to treat them that way, even though sometimes they just don't deserve it. Well, you know, Jesus said, love your enemies. Speak well of them, even though they're trashing you. Pray for them, even though they're, you know, doing everything they can to cause harm to you. He said to do that. This is that kind of divine love. And it goes back to, how would I want to be treated? I want to try to treat them that way. The words are easy to say, but from my experience, and I imagine from yours as well, these things aren't easy to do. They're not easy to do. Why go to church anyways? In church, you're going to hear this stuff, and it, you might just step up, you know, yourself a bit in an area or two here that can say, okay, I'm going to try this week. I'm going to go after this little bit here this next week. And hopefully in the context of our mixing and fellowshipping, all the kind of stuff we do together, like next week at pizza, you know, we're going to do a bunch of things together. We're going to get to know each other. And numbers of you have gotten together already. There were five of us guys around a table yesterday. Tim was leading us in a men's study at Sherry's. That was cool. Gals are getting together on Wednesday night. They do this big dinner thing. It's like, so cool. You know, and we're going to love on each other. And we're going to get to know each other, and it's going to be sometimes hard to love, sometimes, but we're going to do it, because that's what we're called to. That's what brings God the greatest glory and honor as we are more like him. So the last verse here that we have, just look at this one. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And so part of our assembling, part of our gathering is to build this love and goodness into us. We might express ourselves to other people as well as to God, the love of God for everyone, helping people get it. And I'm so grateful for that little church that helped me get it, that group that I found myself in that reached out to me, that loved me. Thank you, each one of you, for reaching around to the people that come to the branch week by week. We've got about a third of the people here that are traveling with the branch right now. You just all don't come on the same Sunday. One of these days we're going to have 100% Sunday, okay? What do you think about that? Okay, do the impossible, Dave, right? Yeah, that'll be God's deal, 100% Sunday, and we'll fill the whole room, right? But we come once every 2 or 3 weeks, and that's okay. We want you here as much as you can get here. Because we're gonna feel and experience and perhaps discover as well as get instructed on who God is and what he's trying to do in our lives to bring us, friends, the greatest benefits that life has to offer. God loves us. He cares deeply about our lives and those whom we travel with and around. And he's even using us to make him known. Sometimes when we don't even know it, he's using us to make him known. So we got to consider. It means we got to think about, how can I help another person in our midst? How can I spur one another on? How can I help people to come together on occasions in small groups, in this group, and sometimes because life just hits us, and sometimes we just get out of the habits of life that are good for us because life just screamed at us for its attention in so many different areas. See the day approaching, friends, that's the day that Jesus could return anytime. We just don't know. It could be later this afternoon. It could be 2,000 years from now. We just don't know. So we always want to be on the alert, helping each other and growing together. I'm just going to give you this connection time and just ask you, what about your love for God? Just ask yourself, what am I doing? What could I maybe, you know, ask yourself, is there a way I can grow my love for God? How can I do that? And your love for others, other people.